to see everyone here. Good to be with you, and I certainly am thankful for those for the invitation to spend time with you in studying of the scriptures. And I really appreciate the confidence that the elders have in trusting Scott to invite me to work with you. I certainly do miss working with him. It was just a great pleasure. And I tell people, when it comes to his preaching and the things that he's doing, the best thing that I did in working with him was staying out of his way and just allowing him to grow. And certainly have been encouraged by the things that I've heard, and even in dealing with him, that it has been a blessing. And so you truly are blessed to have him working with you. And so this evening, as we engage in our study, we're going to be looking at the central figure, and that's going to be, maybe I need to put it down just a little bit. How's that? Or, okay, he's working with that. Okay. When Scott gave me the verses out of the book of Acts and the things that we're going to study, I started just thinking about how could I title this whole segment in regards to our study this evening. And as some of you have received the handouts, the title is going to be really Heart Set on Fire. And when you look at the book of Acts, that's exactly what you see. You see hearts that are truly set on fire. And there's no doubt that Paul is the prime example of a heart that's really set on fire. And so we're going to be looking at those things this evening. And really the objective of our study is really to understand what the heart is. That's what we're going to do. And then the second thing that we understand love in relationship to our heart. And then we'll look at what some scripture points out about that. And then what I want to also do in our study as an objective is to look at hearts that are set on fire and how that they will burn bright and through any difficulties or challenges that we face when our hearts are set on fire. And clearly we're going to see those examples in just a few moments as we talk about these things. I'm reminded of what John points out in John chapter 1. Look over there with me. And notice what John points out in regards to Jesus the Christ. And as he talks about the Word was in the beginning, there in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him nothing came into being that has come into being. And then he says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overpower it. And that's what happens when you and I are truly connected or plugged into Christ and our hearts are on fire. No matter what we face, we're gonna shine bright, and we're going to burn through the challenges that we face. And not only that, we're going to burn through the darkness because as we face some of the things in this world, there are going to be those who would say some very nasty things about us. And at times, we're even going to have or butt heads with each other as God's people. But if our hearts are on fire and we're shining brightly, we're not going to let that stop us from serving God. We're going to do what is right. And guess what? When we have that kind of attitude and that kind of heart that's on fire, it's all going to work out. And we're going to see that in the life of Paul and others as we go through these passages this evening. Before I do all of that, I'd like to begin by the background material that I have put together. And it's going to take a few moments. And those of you who have handouts, someone had asked me what are some of the things I was going to be showing in regards to, I guess, doing most of the talking. And I said, no, what I was going to do is I was going to make you work, and I was going to sit back and watch you. Now, well, the material is designed for us to work together and to get your thoughts on some of the things that those passages will be covering. I did expand some of them, such as like Acts chapter 15, verse 36 to chapter 16 and verse 10. Those are the things that originally it was to verse 5. I went ahead and expanded 5 more verses on that aspect so that you can begin to look at what happens when a heart is set on fire. And then we will have a handout, which I would encourage you to take home and read for yourself and get the material and do the work at home. And then when you come back together, we can just talk about these things and learn together. And that's going to be Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 40. And then we're going to look at Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. And then Acts 17, verses 16 through 34. And then chapter 18, verses 1 through 22. You'll get all those handouts. They'll be ready for you to take home. But what I want to do is just lay the groundwork for this evening. And perhaps and hopefully that we'll get to chapter 15, verses 36 through chapter 16 and verse 10. So let me begin with the background by looking at Acts chapter 7 and verse 58. In the life of Paul, this is before we are, that he's called Paul, he is called Saul at this particular time. And we find him as the one that was at the stoning of Stephen, where individuals put their cloaks at his feet. And that's the first encounter that we have of him. And then in chapter 8 of the book of Acts, we then see how Saul is described because of the things that he would be doing in regards to the church. And in those verses, he is described as a young man. And not only that, or in chapter 7, in verse 58, he's described as a young man, but in chapter 8, now you see someone who is set on fire, but he's on fire not for the gospel, but for standing up for the old ways in regards to Judaism or the Old Testament practices. Understanding that they had come to an end, that they were fulfilled in Christ Jesus, and that the new covenant has been established. So at this particular time, what he does in his zeal, he is ravaging the church. I mean, he is going in full force, seeking letters to take them to prison from the high priest, and he's traveling distances, even as he goes to Damascus, trying to catch and gather those who were following the way, as Luke describes this concerning Saul. And then what we see in regards to verses 4 through 40 of Acts 8, now I want us to pause here for a moment and let's think about this for a moment. The rest of chapter 8 talks about the conversions of the Samaritans and the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch in that chapter. At one time, I did see that, yes, as these conversions, but then when you take a step back and you look at the observation of it. Now, remember, the church is under intense persecution by Saul. And what you get here is really a break. And in that break, what is showing us that in spite of the persecution that the church is going through, you have hearts that are firmly fixed and convicted in Christ, and they're still teaching God's word. See, that starts to give us an indication of hearts that are set on fire. Here is the persecution, and here you have individuals, they keep preaching regardless. Souls are still being converted to Christ. They did not let the persecution stop them, and in particular there, Philip is the one that's doing the preaching. Even with Stephen, when you look back earlier in chapter 7, even Stephen, in spite of his life being lost, Stephen stood up for the truth. His heart was on fire. And he did not let the intimidation of even them taken to stone him stop him from preaching God's word. And so in Acts chapter 8, verses 4 through 40, we kind of get that break and we start to see that. And then what happens, as Luke does, he picks up in chapter 9 and goes back to Saul and starts talking about how Saul is going to Damascus trying to get individuals who are following the way to persecute them. And so as he's approaching Damascus, that is when he meets the glorified Christ. And when he meets Christ on the road, I call this the introduction in regards to Paul. He is introduced to the Lord. And in fact, the glory of Christ blinds him. He is unable to see, and he is going to be a chosen vessel for the Lord. And we're told about Ananias. God speaks to Ananias for Ananias to go and meet with Saul. And what's interesting is, Ananias' reaction. Sometimes we do have this kind of reaction like Ananias. When we hear someone who is very difficult, who is really putting Christians in the prison, and they don't have a consideration for another person's life, and it becomes intimidating that when Jesus speaks to Ananias for Ananias to go to Saul, it's like, wait a minute, Lord. What? And the Lord had to tell him he's a chosen vessel. And he is going to go before kings. He's going to go to the Gentiles and so forth. And then Ananias submits to God's instructions and he goes and he meets Saul, this chosen vessel. Ananias reminded me of several situations that I encountered when I lived in New York. There were areas where the police officers were being assassinated, basically. Drug-infested areas. And one of the things that I had to do is I had to take someone with me as we went to these locations as individuals filled out Bible correspondence courses. And I'll tell you what, it is a challenge. If I stood up here and said I wasn't afraid, I would be lying because I was afraid. But you just have to learn how to get around that. In one situation, we had to actually make noise because there were guys up there with drug deals going on so that we would not surprise them and then have our lives taken. Those are the kinds of situations that we encountered. We encountered situations where individuals became very upset with the teaching, and as you maintain your confidence in the scriptures, you can kind of see them begin to have respect for you because you were not intimidated by the threat even to your own life and even with the intensity of your discussion. And those are situations where, I had second and third thoughts. And I can imagine what Ananias was thinking when the Lord says, you go to Saul. Yeah, this guy's putting people in prison and so forth. And so, again, as he submits, notice the accomplishment of what happens. There Saul is that chosen vessel, and now he begins in chapter 9, verse 19, the latter part of that, he begins preaching. Now, here is someone who was a persecutor of the church, and as he's introduced to Christ, that same zeal that he had in trying to eradicate God's people, now he is a proclaimer with that zeal. His heart now is burning for the Lord. And as it's burning for the Lord, we begin to see the difficulties, but yet at the same time, the pressing forward of spreading God's word. In chapters 13 and 14, that's when we pick back up with him, because from chapter 10 onward, there are other things that are going on. But when you get to chapters 13 and 14, we find here the first preaching journey of Paul, and in particular Barnabas. Incidentally, going back to chapter 9, I appreciated the attitude of Saul, and I think it becomes a great lesson for us as Christians, and to show the zeal and this heart that was burning. Notice when he is converted, he seeks to join brethren in worshiping God and proclaiming truth. A lot of times what we do is we kind of sit around and we act like, you know, we don't want to join ourselves and participate in the work, and we're kind of try to be like spectators. But if your heart is on fire, you want to join brethren. You want to work with them. You want to do what you can in spreading the gospel of Christ. Yes.
Door to a dark room that has no light. At the facing of that door, light breaks through. You cannot keep it from breaking through. Right. Part of that darkness is taken away. And if you walk into the center of that room with that light, in the center of that room, the darkness of that whole room will disappear. And there will be light shining all around you.
Absolutely.
So, this change that happens in the heart of Paul, who all this time thought he was doing the right thing. We need to make sure we say that. This change that happens to his heart only makes him more zealous, more sure that even though I was wrong then, I am right now because I spoke with the Lord, I saw him. Messiah has come, and I am going to serve him.
Absolutely. We're going to see, and as we get to the material, of what sparked this fire and why. And that gives us the opportunity to look at ourselves and to reexamine whether the spark is in us and whether we can get that fire glowing and burning, that it does give the light, that when it does enter a dark room, that it pierces through. And really, that's the whole concept. When you talked about Paul trying to snuff out the light that Jesus has started, remember John chapter 1, the darkness could not comprehend or overpower it. And we clearly see this in Paul's life. But at the same time, not only him, he's just a central figure right now, but not only him, but we talked about Stephen, we talked about Philip, these guys, and even Barnabas is the one that vouches for Saul. And it took a lot of courage for Barnabas to do this. Remember, the brethren are afraid of him as he's trying to seek to join. The brethren are afraid because they've heard of all the things that he's done. Here is Barnabas, whose heart is on fire, and the type of person that Barnabas does, he grabs, hey, and he starts to, hey, brethren, this is a good man. This man is truly changed. And it took courage for him to do that. And look at the heart of Barnabas as well. And so no wonder as you get to chapters 13 and 14, you see those two together as they go out on the first journey, and as they're facing the things that they're encountering on the first journey. In fact, in chapter 13, you start to get a list of all the places that they had gone to, and you start to look at that history that's there, especially when they come to Paphos, there where Sergius Paulus, who becomes a believer. And do you remember the... the magician there that's trying to hinder and stop that. And Paul, being filled with the Spirit, cast blindness on him there in chapter 13. So it's interesting that you see Paul and it is at this time that he's now going to be referred to as Paul. He's Saul, and then he is referred to as Paul later on. But it's at this point that they are pushing forward. And the challenge that they face was with Elymas here trying to prevent Sergius Paulus from believing. And Paul didn't let it stop him from teaching truth, nor did Barnabas. Because later on, as they travel, and at this time, it's interesting here that John Mark is with them as they're traveling on this first journey. But then what happens is, at Perga, he goes back to Jerusalem. And what I'm doing is beginning to set the stage for our discussion this evening. And so it is at that time that you see John Mark going back to Jerusalem. And then as they go to Pisidian Antioch there, you see them going into the synagogue, and they are teaching. They are confronting their own countrymen in regards to the truth. Look at chapter 13, verses 26 through 41. What time will class be over? About 7:45? Okay. Chapter 13, notice verses 26 through 41. And in the context of this sermon that's being preached here, I had this question that I was going to ask everyone, and that is, where have we heard this sermon, a similar presentation of God's Word before? When you look at, as he talks about, and this is Paul talking about the sons of Abraham's family. He talks about David. And then what he does, he talks about how in verses 34 and 35, just as David said, that the Holy One did not allow him to undergo decay. And then as you drop down, he even quotes Habakkuk there in verse 41. When he talks about, "Behold, you scoffers, and marvel, and perish, for I am accomplishing a work in your days," and so forth, there from Habakkuk there. Habakkuk chapter 1, and I think it's around verse 4 from that particular prophet. But the point is, where have we heard this idea of the Savior not undergoing decay? Yes. Acts chapter 2. The same message. Peter preached that. And do you know there's folks who say that Peter and Paul preached different lessons? No, they didn't. They preached the same thing. And we have an example of this. It was similar, because that's exactly what Peter and the apostles preached there in Acts chapter 2 about Jesus Christ. And also here, this is what Paul does in reference to David. Yes. Absolutely.
So both Peter and Paul was trying to build that bridge.
Absolutely.
This was the Messiah.
Absolutely. So again, hearts set on fire by love, and we'll talk about that coming up here in just shortly here. In chapter 14, what we have is them going into Iconium, and then there is where they had healed a lame man. And that's where Barnabas was called Zeus, and then Paul called Hermes there as they had performed this miracle, because Paul did most of the speaking, so that's why they called him Hermes there. And then what you have that these individuals go back to Antioch. But prior to that, remember, there were those who were coming from other areas causing problems. They came to Iconium. They're following Paul and Barnabas as they're preaching the word of God, just stirring up trouble, but they didn't let it stop them. from teaching truth, teaching God's word and bringing them to Christ. Just a great example of men whose hearts were set on fire by love here. And then as you get to Acts chapter 15, and that's where we have we see there are those who came to Antioch and they were preaching about one had to be circumcised according to the law of Moses in order to be saved. And both Paul and Barnabas withstood them in just an intense debate. And then finally they go up to Jerusalem and talk with the other apostles there because those men came from that area. And so basically you have both Barnabas and Paul. What they're doing is their hearts are set on fire by love, and it shines bright, and it pierces through all the problems and the challenges that they were facing as they went on that first preaching journey. And that's why I titled the whole situation or this whole discussion around hearts set on fire by love. Now, the question is, how did that happen? How did that happen? And as Brother George had pointed out, he alluded to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. It is there that Paul gives us some insight of what caused him to be set on fire for the Lord. And there are several things that he mentions in those verses. First of all, he says, I thank God. And then he talks about considered me. Why would that be something that Paul would have in mind? That God, he's thanking God that Christ, he was considered by Christ to be put in the service. Why would that be? Yes. Absolutely. And we look back at our lives. If we look back at our lives, I don't care if your father or your mother or your parents were Christians and you grew up where your parents were Christians and they taught you the truth, you could have the same mindset that Paul is pointing out here. And that is you thank God for the situation that you grew up with, knowing and learning the truth to where you obey that. There are others who did not have that. And because they didn't have that, they learned the truth, it should impact them as well. And so a lot of times, Christians who were blessed to have parents who were Christians, and they learn, they think that they got to go out into the world and experience the world so that they would have a good and strong love for the Lord. Let me tell you, that is fallacy. That is a bunch of garbage. You should be thankful that God blessed you with that opportunity. Because those who are coming out of the world who didn't have that and they see you, what they're saying is, I wish I had that in my life when I was younger. But I thank God that I had the opportunity to become a Christian in spite of that. See, so we all can be thankful and our hearts can be set on fire. It's the way that we look at these things, and that's how Paul was looking at this, and he sees it and he recognizes mercy. In fact, he recognizes the grace of God and he says it was abundant in reference to him. And so you have this man expressing why. It's because of God's love towards him. And that's exactly what 1 John teaches us in 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. He talks about how God loves us and that if we abide in him, he abides in us. And he says we love him because he first loved us. So as Christians, we need to be looking at God's love And as we look at God's love, then we understand what love is, and then our hearts will catch fire because of His love, and we will burn bright, and we will burn through challenges, and we will burn through the darkness. As we're going to see examples of the of hearts that were set on fire and what happened even when they were facing challenges. The third thing that the apostle brought to their attention to help us to understand that is Philippians chapter 3, verses 2 through 14. It is there that the apostle talks about having, if he could have confidence in the flesh or they could, he says, I even more. And then he starts to list his background of being well learned. But what Paul saw was the surpassing value of knowing Christ. And when he saw that surpassing value, again, I don't care. And I am appreciative and I'm thankful to the Lord. If you had parents who were Christians, you were blessed that you grew up with that. But at the same time, you can have a heart that burns with fire and burns bright because you recognize the surpassing value of knowing Christ. A lot of times we're not plugged in. And even if you're kind of halfway plugged in, you ever notice how the sparks fly out of a plug when you just have it just plugged in and you touch it and it sparks? And you go over to the machine, you didn't know that, and you go over to the machine, you press, it's not working. Even though it's right there and it's hanging just barely into the socket, but it's not fully implemented. It's not fully plugged in. And you go to work with the machine, it may, you know, do that and just work for a little while and then cut back off, you know. And you're wondering what's wrong. Well, that's the way with our lives and with our hearts. When we just blink in and blink off like that, blink on and off, we're not fully plugged in. But when we get plugged in and you go to hit that button, that thing, it just works like a charm. I like to use like stereo system. You know, you get that nice, clean, pure sound. You say, wow, I like that. But if you're not plugged in, if you're halfway plugged in, you're not going to work properly. You're not going to burn bright. You're going to flicker. But when you get fully plugged in, you're on. You're going to burn bright, just as Paul and Barnabas did in their work. And so, what I want us to do for the last couple of minutes here is look at Acts chapter 15 and verse 36 to chapter 16, from verses to verse 10. There is a situation that occurs. In this situation that occurs, because the next, tomorrow night, what I want you to do is, I want you to take these, the other verses, I want you to go home, I want you to read through it, and then accomplish the task of giving the background to those verses, and then come back, or list how hearts were set on fire by love, how were they displayed in those verses. And we'll come back and we'll talk about that. And if every last one of y'all do this, we will spend the whole time talking about that. And it will be, I hope and pray, and I believe it will be exciting when you start to see and look at Acts from that perspective of heart set on fire by love. But in chapter 15, just to kind of get us started, remember that in verse 36, here is the second journey. You know, I was supposed to also show you a slide, too. I got so into it. That's showing you the first journey. But this is what I wanted. This is our theme. The heart of man. Remember, the heart of man. Let me do this. I got to do this before we end. The heart of man. When we talk about the heart of man, we're talking about the mind. We're not talking about the blood. We're talking about the mind. And in the mind, that's the seat of intellect, that's the seat of the will, and that's the seat of affection or emotion. And so when the Bible uses the term heart, it's giving this affection, that we would have towards God. In other words, we have learned, and we because of what we've learned about God and who He is, it has an impact on our affection. And then we make a decision. That's the seat of the will. We make a decision whether we're going to do or not to do. And when the information is put into our mind about God, who He is, what He has done, just as you see in Acts chapter 2 and as we talked about there in Acts chapter 13, that information impacts us. And when it impacts us, the way it should, as we're looking at those things with an open heart and open mind, it sets it afire. And I use the symbol of that heart, but that heart is placed in the mind. And when that heart is burning, it's going to burn bright. And so what you see here in Acts chapter 15, I'll tell you, here's what we'll do. We'll look at Acts chapter 15. I want you to take that home with you and then work on it and then come back. Also, the other lesson as well, I want you to take that, work on both of them, and hopefully what we'll do is we'll spend the beginning of the session talking about both of those passages, those assignments. And I think we could do this. But if everybody participate, I think it'll be exciting and thrilling for us as we start to listen and learn from each other in the class. But again, just think about this in regards to the heart of man. The heart of man is the mind, the intellect, the will, or affection. And it will impact us even with emotion as well. Here's a good example of this. Especially those of you who are married and those who might be dating right now, think about this. When you met that young lady or a young lady, when you met that man and you married, what happened? Somehow you got information about him. You got information about her. It impacted your mind. It set your heart on fire. I'm going to marry that girl. I'm going to marry that boy. And we start doing that. And notice what it does. It changed the way we behave. It changed our behavior. With the boys, you know, boys get up and they just take their pants and they just, and then put them on. All of a sudden, when they meet that young lady and their heart's set on fire, you start seeing them, not only are they washing them, they're not doing this anymore, they're ironing them, and they're getting them, and they're going to the bathroom, and what they're doing is they're brushing their teeth, they're combing their hair. You know, they're doing all of those things because their lives are changing. Why? It's been set on fire by that young lady. And the young lady, you know, you do the same thing. You make sure, oh, is this a nice dress? I wonder if you'll like that, you know, and so forth. And you start changing your behavior. Well, that's what's going on when a heart is set on fire. It changes. It impacts. And we experience these things, especially in the relationship that the male and female have in marriage. That happened to me. It sure did. I was a guy that, you know, I was going to do what I was going to do. And I met Deb, and it's like, whoa, it's like I was hit with a ton of bricks. And couldn't sleep, you know, cut myself off from eating. Now I enjoy eating because, you know. But those things, they change our lives. Why? Because we have been impacted by our minds, our hearts. Because we got the information, it changed our affection, and when it changed our affection, and then we determined, this is what I am going to do. And so this is what happened with Paul, this is what happened with Barnabas, this is what happened with Philip, this is what happened with Stephen. It changed their lives. All those individuals that allowed the information about God, who He is, what He has done, and what He will do, it changed their lives. And it will continue to change lives today if we just have the confidence and the courage and burn bright to share it with others. And we'll see that as we go on in our study this evening. Let's see. We got about, 3 minutes? Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thoughts were about the message that he was delivering at the time. And I was thinking whether or not we could have
But I think what you're showing is that the power of the message will overcome the power of the personality.
Absolutely.
And Paul is a good example of that, because as strong as he was opposing the will, the power of the message converted him to change, to go the opposite directions with the same amount of zeal.
Absolutely.
And that, although we may not have Paul's personality,
right,
we certainly can have the same message, the same power that he had through the message.
Yeah, there are some times when you're talking with someone and it seems like you're pushing on them, you know, and then you say, oh, I apologize, you know, for sounding so pushy. I was just so excited about what I've learned, you know, what I know. You know, just tell them that. And then sometimes when we are shy, we're shy. And how do we overcome shyness? We talk with everyone else. You know, we'll say, hey, how you doing? And hey, where you going? You know, questions like that. There's a lesson that I gave at Mill Road. It's called Evangelistic Questions. You know where I got them from? The scriptures. Yeah. They're filled with questions that spark to thinking. So if you're quiet and shy, you still can have a heart that burns bright, even when you're quiet and shy. You'll overcome that by, as you're talking with people, and as you're talking about the truth, your eyes, your heart, will start to light up. Why? It's because it's something that you are excited about. It's something that you want to do, that you have determined to be part of. And we do that with our favorite baseball team. We're rooting for the Reds. We'll go down to Cincinnati, go down to the stadium, and we'll be banging on the seats. We'll be jumping up, and we'll be, why? Because we're excited about the Reds. We want them. We have determined, and we let go. Yes. Absolutely.
So if you continue in this fervor that you have, that you hope to build, if you keep doing it, it should engender more fervor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like that becomes your way of life.
You don't start out as a Reds fan and just go down and be like, I'm the biggest Reds fan ever. I'm from Houston. I was never a Reds fan. I'm developing that Reds fan.
Yeah. I'm still having a hard time, but anyway, that's all right. I do root for the Reds. But yeah, that's the thing. We get excited about it as we experience those things, as we learn more and more about it. What this message, as we learn more and more about God, it should be doing that with us. And so again, heart set on fire by love. And I look forward to tomorrow night as we deal with our questions and then learning how to implement these things in our lives. Thank you.
tights, these handouts. I guess Bobby has them right now walking that way. If you'd like to pick those up for the class tomorrow night. There's also going to be handouts for the week as well, but they'll be on that back table, so you can pick those up on your way out. You can get those. So I want to thank Albert for teaching in class tonight and also throughout the week, so I appreciate that. Back to the kids, however. Hopefully, what did you guys learn about tonight?
Paul.
What did Paul talk about? God. God, what did he do? Okay. So what did he teach on or talk about? He talked about Jesus. What did Jesus do?
He died on the cross.
He died on the cross. Very good.
Sorry, I'm not trying to ignore you. You're older.
Very good. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to sing two songs, okay? And then I'm going to ask Aiden if he would to lead us in prayer after that. But this time we're going to have him not lead us in two songs, okay? Thank you.
All right, you guys ready to sing Jesus Loves Me some more?
All right, this time we'll sing all verses.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus. Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves the children dear, children far away or near. They are safe when in his care, every day and everywhere. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and wholly thine. Thou hast bled and died for me, I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
All right, now we're going to sing Awesome God.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom. God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Please pray with me. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we come to you today thanking you for all the wonderful blessings you've given us, this wonderful building you've given us to celebrate the sacrifice that you gave to us with your Son, Jesus Christ, and to have some fun this week and learn more about you. We hope, dear Lord, that everybody gets here safe and we have a good attendance here, and we thank you for all the children here this week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.